Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Showgirl Tip of the Day podcast. I am super excited because I have the wonderful dancer, Ashley Blair Fitzgerald. Ashley has been a dancer for a while, and she has been training her whole life. She has been in shows on Broadway, such as Gigi, the off-Broadway show Trip of Love. She was on tour with the Twyla Tharp Frank Sinatra piece called Come Fly Away. And she also was a featured dancer in the Cher show. And her number, Dark Lady, got a standing ovation the night that I saw the show. I was so proud. I was literally crying and clapping and cheering. And most recently, she did the pre-Broadway San Diego production of Bob Fosse's Dancin', the revival. And she did not do the Broadway company of Dancin' because she was cast in New York, New York. I think she also did a show called Thou Shalt Not. Let's hear from Ashley. She's had a wonderful career. She's also the winner of a Cheetah Rivera Award and was recently featured in Dance Magazine. She has a La Duca shoe. Phil LaDuca makes these fantastic professional dance shoes, and he names different versions of the shoe after featured dancers and like the It Girls. She's got a shoe named after her. Without further ado, here's Ashley Blair Fitzgerald.
Hi, Ash.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for making time for this in your busy schedule. I'm so glad that you're here with us. So this podcast, we talk about show business, and you fascinate me, not just because I've known you for so long, but I think you made some really great choices. The first thing I want to ask you is, what was the name of that show you did off Broadway with Nikki? It was all dance.
Oh, yeah. Trip of Love.
That's right. And that was after Gigi, correct?
Yeah, yes and no. I had done it originally in Japan in its like tryout process in 2008. So that was, I sort of did it many years before it came to its off-Broadway house. They made us like audition again because it had been so many years. So we had to go through the whole entire process again. So, you know, it was like new, but not.
Ashley, how do you feel? I know New York, New York just closed, and I know that was a really heartbreaking moment for you because I'm sure you all were expecting it to run a long time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how do you feel knowing that your dream of being on Broadway is coming true? Besides Cher, besides Gigi, you did New York, New York. You were in the pre-Broadway company of Dancin', but you turned down the Broadway run so you could do New York, New York, which I think was a wise decision. How do you feel now knowing that you are one of the top Broadway dancers?
I mean, thank you for always being such a supportive colleague, friend, and so on. It like means a lot. But I don't necessarily like look at, I know this sounds like cliche, but I don't look at myself as the top, mainly because it's kind of odd to say, but I don't set out like specific, I think I have to start probably, but I don't set out specific goals. Like it was always like, I'm going to be on Broadway. That was like my goal, right? That was the goal. And I never said like, oh, I'm going to be on Dance Magazine or, oh, I'm going to win a Cheetah Award. Like those were never things that were like in my orbit because I didn't think they were in my orbit. And it was always more about like the work. I wanted to do this piece of work. So it's like never about the accolades. It's always about like how get the next step, you know, how do I get to the next step? Literal step.
I want to talk about something really interesting and wise that you did. I think right before you booked Gigi, you left the city and you went home to work for your dad, I believe, and you would come up for auditions because home for you is the DC area, correct?
That's where I grew up, like in the Maryland, Baltimore, DC area. I was in a relationship as well. So I had met a guy, and I think I was in that time of my life where I was sort of trying to figure out like what was what. I hadn't done the things I had set out to do yet, but that didn't mean I hadn't had a career. I had had a very full career by that time in my life. I think I was like 26, maybe 27, 28, and I had done like, I don't know, four national tours. So there was a lot going on there, but I hadn't done Broadway, and it wasn't happening yet. No matter how many things I went in on and auditions and that this, that, and the other, it just wasn't happening. And I worked for my dad. I took up a writing course at a college, and I continued to audition whilst this was happening. I remember I got a call for West Side Story, and I think I had gotten a lot of friends to, the casting director. Somebody talked to the casting director for me, and somebody talked to the associate for me. So I had like people working in my corner, and because my agent wasn't. And so I was like in the middle of working at my job, and I was told, okay, you have this audition, you got to get up here. And so I literally hopped onto a train, and I warmed myself up on the Amtrak train bathroom for the audition. And then I didn't get it. I almost got it, but I didn't get it, and that was okay. But it was like these things where you're just, it was like the drive was so big inside of me, but also like the practical side and my brain was there too. Like I always had to have a job. I always had to make sure that like I was seeing straight. I was doing right by my own life. I surrounded myself with people that were, supportive and not maybe they weren't family members, but they could have been, and they always had my best, whatever at heart. And so, and I think that like it helps the drive, right? I think sometimes we get so caught up in being in New York and the rat race, and I think everybody's rat race is different, and the best way to make sure that it is the right rat race is to always make sure you're loved in the process, and surrounded by good things in the process, whether it be your brain is working and you're in a writing course, or you're working for family, or you're working, you know what I mean? No matter what, you're always working on something.
That is so profound and so amazing.
Oh, thanks.
I've been so proud of you. And when I saw Cher and you got a standing ovation at the end of Dark Lady, I was literally crying and I was so proud. But Ash, I want to tell, if you will help me, tell the story of our first contract together.
Oh,
And
God.
I don't, I know, but I don't even know why we fought. But one night we got into a fight, and I don't even remember the circumstances. But all I remember is I was like reading you, and reading, if you're not a performer, reading is like one performer like tells off another performer.
I know. Well, it was, but you were, that was what you were supposed to do. I needed that. Everybody needs it at some point, right?
Yeah, we were living together in a cast house, and I don't even remember why I read you that day, but I think I was like so frustrated or something, and there was many houses in this theater's housing, and one was called the Crack House because it was like ramshackle and awful. And I remember saying to you, one phone call and you will be in the crack house.
I don't remember that, but I remember, like, it's always funny, like everybody remembers like a different trajectory of a scenario. But like I think you know what I think it was? I think I like didn't turn off a burner or something, or it had to do, I think it was like surrounding food in some way, shape, or form. I didn't clean something up. I didn't, I was like 21 or 20. I don't know. I might have been 20. Like, was I even legal? Unclear.
I think you were
But
21. I think you were 21,
I was 20.
and
Okay.
yeah, you were a fabulous dancer though, fantastic. And after that fight, whatever air was cleared, and we became good friends after that. So it was just funny though, like.
I think sometimes too, like you have to feel like you're heard, and then you also have to be told. Like, it depends on where you are in your life. Cause there's so many times where I'm like, why isn't anyone listening to me? You know? And then when I was younger, it was definitely like, sometimes you just shut up and listen. So I think that was like one of those situations. And like, there was so much to learn like from you. And it's probably like, it's good too. Like, you should never be afraid to like go for it in terms of like a relationship, because you never know what you can get from it, right? You can never know what you can like in a good way. Like, we've been friends since then. So, and there were so many times like I taught for you, or I stayed with you, and what a fruitful friendship came from that crack house fight.
But I've just been so proud of you, because you have been, you're in your prime during an era that I was telling a good friend of mine, these dancers now, these performers now, the last couple years of the pandemic, like, they literally have had years ripped away from them. And It's not fair, but you chose to become a mom for the second time during the pandemic. Again, these wise choices I think you make. And you had always told me that you wanted two kids. Yeah. And now you have two kids. And how is that going for you? How is your beautiful family?
Everybody's really good. My daughter, who is six, is sassy and super fun and kind of like loves everything. Sports, being dramatic, you know, role playing with her, stuffed animals, like all that. And then my son is, he's a lot of fun. He's really interesting. It's actually been a bit of a trying time, because he's a speech delayed child. So he's doing really well, but we had to sort of attack it. Like, he was a special needs child, which he isn't, but we have, and he's been in, you know, therapy for the last year. So, but it's all paying off now. He's like, he's coming to, he's like one of the good kids in class now, you know, and like, he's a good example for other new kids to follow. And, you know, he's like, for the first time in the last like month, he started to say mama. And so, and he's, you know, 2.5, so, or a little bit over 2.5. So that's been like really a fun, not fun, but I don't know, challenging. And it definitely like makes your, it kind of like puts everything in perspective, right? Like, going to work is different for, you know, for somebody that has time, is, you know, there, it's their family, and there's like work, and then that's the, you know, that's their like life. And then they get to go to work and like play make believe. So that's like a lot of fun. And so I've really like, it's been able to like make the balance of life seem that much more balanced. And I've, you know, really learned patience, and especially like, it's like, you can apply it to anything, but I mean, I'll apply it to like work. It's like, you're older, you get injured, and you have to, you know, you want to do all the things that you could do earlier, but you can't. So you're like, great, I'm going to take these tools that I've learned from my child and apply it to myself and be able to relearn how to use my body, relearn how to, you know, and then that's like my superpower, right? So it's pretty cool.
So many people told me when I became a mom, because I have one child, and I was almost discouraged when I got pregnant. Yeah. Because I was 32, I think, when I got pregnant. And they were like, you're wrecking your career. Do you feel that there's still a stigma? Like, it's either or? And do people give you a hard time because you have kids?
No, I mean, I think that it's not either or. I think that, you know, the Broadway schedule is, it's not conducive to being a parent. It's a bit, it's tough. So it's definitely like a bit of a burnout situation, but that doesn't mean that you can't make it work. It doesn't mean that it can't happen. Obviously, I think so for so long, there's like this place of like, will it hurt, you know, will it wreck my body? Will it do all these things? Like that's like step number one, hurdle number one that women face. And no, it won't. It'll just make you, like I just said, prior to your question, just as your superpower, you know, like you relearn how to use your body. Who gets to do that? Not everybody in the world. They just stay with what they know, right? So right. There's that. And then time number two is where you do get to spend all day with them. And it's amazing because you're not working during the day. You're working at night. So that's great. And then, but then the next hurdle is that when they get into school age, you know, it's tough. Like you're not with them when like in the after school times or depending on the way the schedule goes. And then you're basically like really working like all the time. Yeah. So it's tough. It can be a bit of a, I don't know, it can be hard. It's not easy. But I mean, my father was just like, he's always said to me whenever I'm feeling uncomfortable or like it's just too hard, he's like, well, that means that you're growing, right? You have to feel these things when they come to you. You're growing, and if you're uncomfortable in your own skin, then you learn from that. You kind of go with it, lean into it.
Yeah, absolutely. My baby is now 22 and about to
And
graduate
not,
from college. I
I'm,
know,
but like,
remember? Like,
you should applaud yourself on that. Like, that's a huge feat, you know, that she did that and you did that, you know?
I'm super proud, I have to say. Your time with your kids, it's gonna go by fast. It
Yeah.
doesn't seem it at the moment,
No, it
but
does. I
before,
can't believe
yeah,
it.
before you know it, it goes by so lightning fast. So I just want to briefly, I know you have to go. I want to talk about, you told me that you found a mentor in Susan Stroman. I have only auditioned for her a couple of times, but she has been so warm and lovely. Can you tell the audience what it's like to work with such an iconic person?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I can't even like iconic is like not even like the best word for it. You're like you would think of the best word for her, and then like there's a better one out there. You know what I mean? It's like she's just it kind of felt like home when I auditioned for her. I met her. She came and saw me in Cher, and we met after the show. She came back and met me, which was like what? And from
Ash,
then,
you were luminous in that show.
oh,
You were like a standout.
it was fun. Thank you. It was that I hold that one near and dear to my heart. I miss it. So she, you know, and then I think I auditioned for her like one or two times after that. And one thing, you know, it just didn't quite like work out, but we were like sort of in each other's orbit for, you know, from then on. I even remember like auditioning for her right before I gave birth to Rowan, my second child. And I mean, literally like a day before, like I think she scared the baby out of me because he came early. but she's just, it's like when you think of like you go into a process with her, and I was lucky enough to do the pre-pro for New York, New York with her right before the rehearsal process started. And this was her like working out like people's costume changes and the length of, and you know, I mean, just like she goes in and she thinks of things so far in advance that there is never a question about anything when it pops up, because she's literally already thought about it. And there's no room for concern because she's thought about it. Whether it's like I said, a costume change, a set change, something, you know, and it just a step, whatever. Like it's all always there. If there's a step that like doesn't feel right in your body, she like waits a second and like sees you, and then we'll come up to you and be like, are you sure you want to do that step? Because like we can totally find another one. And you know what I mean? Like who does that? Not very many people
Yeah.
do that. They make you feel weird in the moment, you know, and then you feel like you have to. Like, no, she gives you the space because she trusts everybody that she hires, and that's the other thing. She thinks long and hard about the people that she hires and truly like vets them to know that we're all it's going to be a beautiful working experience. And so then that is what it ends up being, a beautiful working experience.
Sounds heavenly. It sounds
It
lovely.
really was. I really and then I learned so much from her. And then it was like a female leader, you know, which it we don't get that often. It just was, you know, I felt like I had arrived at home.
Well, I'm sure she'll use you again. I mean, that's
Yeah, no, I hope so.
how much more dancing do you want to do? You want to just keep going?
I mean, I think it's you know, honestly, like the second I say something, it turns into a different place. So like I don't really like to say anymore because I end up biting my own, you know, you know,
Yeah.
I, like it doesn't work out that way. So to me, like dance is always going to be like number one. And I learn through dance. I grow through dance. So I don't think I'll ever stop. Like it will never be a, oh, this is my last one, you know. Maybe it won't be as hard, but like I think I've definitely started to go more in the route of like wanting to be more of an actor, be more of a singer, and I am already, but it's just like honing in on those skills and growing in the confidence of that world. Because I think as a dancer, you're always nervous. You're always this, you're always that, because there's such a stigma, and knowing that like you are better than your nerves and growing from there.
Yeah. And you continually train, which I admire too. You take class, you take voice.
Yep. Yep.
And you fit it all in with a young family. And I think that's wonderful. Would you have any kind of words that you want to say to anybody listening? Because I have a lot of young performers on the podcast who are the audience. And what do you just want to say to them as an encouragement?
Yeah, I mean, I think the like what you just said at the very end is kind of the crux of it. Like, don't ever stop learning. Don't ever stop going to class. Don't ever stop experiencing, and know that like not everything is going to be the job, but that doesn't mean that it's not the learning experience, because I think those are the things that you take with you and realize down the road that something actually came of it, and you're a better person, you're a better performer, you're a better whatever because of it. And to remember that like it's always about the relationships that you build, because that will get you so far in life, and be the best that you can be in your own body, to know that these classes, these relationships will, you know, always be there for you and coddle you.
Amazing. I'm just so proud of you. And
okay.
I'm so glad that we are friends and we didn't stay in a fight.
Oh my God. It was a 2 second fight. And then we had a drink because I was legal. We had a drink, and then it was like, we had fun.
I know. Super fun. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go, because I know that you are a crazy busy showgirl, show person, woman of the world.
Yeah,
Ashley Blair Fitzgerald, what is the dance magazine issue that you were in?
It was the Broadway issue in April. April?
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Remember I called that? I was like, you should be in Dance Magazine.
Oh, God.
And
I mean,
do you have a shoe named after you from Laduca?
Yes, I do. Again,
that's pretty
not
cool.
That I ever thought was in my, like, the realm
that's
of
pretty
possibility.
Cool. I really want to get them as a sponsor of the podcast, because they are. Before Laduca, what did we do? I used to break Capizio shoes. I used to like smash the shank and have a piece of metal sticking in my foot.
Those character shoes, those are good ones. They were wonderful. I mean, yeah.
And what does your shoe look like? I could go on the website and look at it.
Yeah, it's sort of off of one of my mentors, Anne Ranking. It was sort of like designed off of her dance and trumpet solo costume shoe vibe. So it's a blue and gold starburst. Beautiful. I love a gold shoe. I've always loved a gold shoe. And yeah, so it's really pretty. It's a pretty shoe. I do love it.
I got to go to their new store and see it. And
yes.
Now that we can shop again, and they had their sale this year, and I was dying to go, because the sale is a really fun event to meet people when you're waiting outside, because they only let a few people in at a time. It's just a really cool hang. And you see all of the New York dancers.
Yeah, yeah. All the up and coming ladies and men and them.
Yeah, it's just fun. That's what I love the most about this business, is the people you meet, the laughs you have backstage, the dressing room stuff. It's just a joy. And then, of course, the work on stage is fabulous, but there's so much more. Like, our lives are so rich.
Mm-hmm.
And when people who don't work in our industry, I think that there's a lot that they don't see, because there's just so much we have to go through just to get even an audition.
Yeah, it's true. Like I said, Amtrak warming up.
But I love you for that. But you warmed up. That's the thing. You warmed up.
Warm up. You gotta warm up.
I know. The Showgirl Tip of the Day podcast has original music composed by Joshua Holloway. Find him on YouTube, Joshua Holloway Music. This podcast is written by Michelle Bruckner and edited by Michelle Bruckner and Joshua Holloway. Find me on Instagram, Showgirl Tip of Day. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week with a new episode. Oh,